But I have something that reframes it. Ready?
Yeah. Well, oh, are we going straight in?
Think about how a hospital staffs its OR. They don't say, we have budget for 12 surgeons. They say, Tuesday's schedule needs a cardiothoracic specialist and two anesthesiologists with pediatric certification. That's capability-based planning. Most companies aren't doing that. They're counting seats.
Okay, that's actually a clean way to see it. So the whole Heidrick & Struggles argument, Sonny Ackerman's argument, is that companies should plan like the OR, not like a headcount spreadsheet.
Exactly. And the problem is 91% of HR leaders still cite headcount cost as their primary planning factor. So the narrative from Heidrick that leading organizations are making this shift, frankly, the data says the shift hasn't happened, not at scale.
So is this a real structural change or just, wait, is it just a better sounding story layered on the same old machine?
And the survey data makes it worse because these aren't two different populations. The 91% who say headcount cost dominates, that's the same group where 85% also call capability development critical. Same leaders, same survey, both things simultaneously.
That's not tension. That's cognitive dissonance at scale. Like, how do those two answers coexist in the same budget meeting?
They don't. One gets funded. One gets invoked when you need to sound strategic.
So it's not that companies are running two planning models. They're bolting capability language onto the same headcount machine and calling it transformation. But then, wait, actually, if that's true, where does the chief people officer fit? Because Heidrick just published a 2026 review, First-Time Chief People Officers in the UK. And the framing is that the CPO role is absolutely center stage now. Seismic shifts in the business landscape, all of that. But first time? In 2026? That's not a role that arrived at the board table.
That's the tell. If capability-based planning were genuinely structural, the CPO elevation happens before you need to publish a guide for first-timers. The fact that Heidrick is writing that guide now means the infrastructure is still being built.
So the second layer is getting installed while the first one is still running. Both operating systems, live, at the same time.
And that dual-track problem gets sharpest when you look at where interim talent sits in all this, which is where Ackerman and Sandra Pinavaya's argument either survives or breaks completely.
And Ackerman and Pinavaya are basically saying, okay, interim talent is the proof of concept for the whole capability argument. Like, if you can't even slot in three senior architects for 6 months, you don't actually have a capability planning system. You have a headcount system with better vocabulary.
The number that breaks it is 15%.
Only 15% of HR leaders include interim talent in formal workforce planning? How is that number so low when Business Talent Group and Heidrick have been making this case for years?
Because the cost optimization machinery doesn't have a category for it. Here's the actual scenario. A tech CFO reviews Q2, sees 247 approved headcount positions, 14% under budget. HR submits a parallel request. Three interim senior architects, 6 months, cost equivalent to one full-time hire, zero permanent headcount. CFO approves the headcount model, denies the interim request.
That's cheaper and more flexible, and the CFO still says no? That's not a cost problem. That's a model problem. The machine doesn't have a slot for it, so it reads as noise.
And that's what makes the 15% so damning. Cloud infrastructure moved to on-demand in the early 2000s. Software teams normalized contractor-based architecture through the 2010s. But HR leadership? Still at 15. That's not an adoption lag.
Because those other shifts happened to technical resources, not to leadership itself. Moving leadership on demand is the part nobody's actually tested at scale. And McKinsey's whole point about treating talent with the same rigor as financial capital, if that were real, the CFO in that scenario approves the interim request without blinking. And that's where the capacity versus capability line actually cuts. Capacity is, do we have enough people for Tuesday? Capability is, do those people have what it takes for what comes next? Those are different questions. They need different machines. The AI pyramid framework, Khatri and Kanal, January 2026, their whole argument is that capability formation has to become infrastructure, not a training cycle, not a quarterly initiative, infrastructure. The same way you don't rebuild your cloud architecture from scratch every year.
Right, but wait, because if capability has to be infrastructure, then the question isn't whether organizations want to build it. It's whether they can actually run both systems at the same time without one quietly starving the other. And I don't think we have a clean answer to that. Like, what happens when budget pressure comes back hard and you can only feed one?
The 91% knows.
Honestly, that's probably the right place to sit with it. Not a verdict, just the number.